I've been stuck on Romans, in the book of Romans, for 3 or 4 months. This morning, I want to just go back to Romans chapter 1. And I tried to speak on this over at St. Matthew's, but I'm going to take a little different route today than I did then. Let's just begin in verse 7. There's a ton of stuff that we could read in the previous stuff, but it says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing," listen to this, "without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." We should be doing that. "Without ceasing, making requests, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but I was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even also among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome." Now I could say, "As much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you at Oxford." Because if there's nothing in me, there's not going to be any preaching. But notice he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, when we think about these texts, now first of all, I'd like for us to think about what is the power of God. Think about that. What does it mean, the gospel is the power of God? And however we interpret that, we must be consistent with the others, not only consistent with what Paul wrote in this letter, but consistent with other scripture. And for a moment, I will turn over to 1 Corinthians. Whatever you teach about Romans chapter 1, you must be consistent with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll just begin reading in verse 18. Now, I want you to think about this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The preaching of the cross is those, and I could say those who are in a perishing condition, those who are perishing, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So what we gather from that and put it over into Romans chapter 1, the ones that's going to believe the gospel are those who are saved. They are those who have been born of the Spirit of God. To be able to think differently than that, and to think that the gospel is to somebody that's out there in the world that does not believe in God, is contrary to sound doctrine. It is. When you think about that, the gospel, now notice it as we read that verse in 1 Corinthians 18. It says, "But unto us which are saved." That didn't say, "unto us which will be saved if we will believe." You see, believing is the principal thing to the religious world. If you don't believe, and Paul asked that question in Romans chapter 3, verse 3. He said, "What if some do not believe?" Well, if we ask that question out in the world today, you say, well, they're going to hell. That's what's going to happen. Because they believe that they teach and they practice and they put in their gospels that if you believe in, if you don't, here is the, and you know, I go to various places around, to visit the sick and so forth. And you find these little pamphlets laid around. And then what this says, it says, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? And if you read this over in here, the principal thing, John 3:16 is the magic text. For God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son, that whosoever will believe. That's what they say. But it's not whosoever will believe. It's whosoever is believing. Whosoever believeth that he is the Christ is born of God. Now notice it says, now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe these, that all have sinned and come short of the glory? Do you believe that? I mean, how can you not believe that when it's right there in the Word of God? All right, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You believe that? Well, of course we do. And it says, God commended his love toward us and when we were yet sinners. Do you believe that? Christ died for sinners. Well, we believe all that, but how do they apply those points? Now, here's what I was sin separates us from God. Amen. Okay, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. There is a spiritual death which will separate you from the sinner, separate the sinner from God in heaven to eternal hell. Well, I have to believe that too. That sin, if sin goes throughout without somebody coming and doing something to take away sin, you're going to go to hell. I mean, that's taught in the scriptures so plain. But God commended his love towards when we're sinners. Christ died for us. Christ paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. Remember now, they're talking to unsaved people. They're talking to people that don't believe. I tell you, nay. But it says, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. They pull that scripture right out of the text, right out of context, right out of the context, and they apply that to the dead alien sinner, except you, and now, they, I'm going to put this away, and I got another little pamphlet, it fell out here a little bit ago, I hope I can find it. Now, I want to give you this scenario here. I found this on the internet. All right, here's the point. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Say amen. Okay. And it says the wages of sin is death. Say amen. Now here's the question. Considering that, Brother Vernon Johnson preached a wonderful sermon on do not remove the landmark, the ancient landmark. And he used, there is landmarks that's put up all throughout the scriptures. And if you remove the landmark, if you remove a natural landmark, we have a landmark out here that shows our property. You go out there and remove it, people's not going to know where we live. And they're not going to be able to, especially if you're out there somewhere in the world and you take a landmark down and you say, well, I thought I knew where I was, but I can't find my landmark. You get confused. Yes. Now here's the landmark. Here is the landmark that Brother Vernon said it's right there and you cannot remove it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That is a fact, Brother John, just as much as it's daylight outside. You can't get around that fact. The point here is, and he says, I quit trying to convert people and I will use one thing to them. And if they will agree to me on this one point, then we can go on. Otherwise, I'm not talking to them anymore. Do you believe that man by nature is totally depraved? They say, well, yes, but then they teach otherwise. They do not believe in the total depravity. Man by nature there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that calleth upon him. They're all together. And he used that word together. At what point did we come all together unprofitable? When was that? It was in the garden. In Adam, we all sinned. We all sinned at the same time, and God imputed that sin to every human being that ever walks upon this earth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you don't believe that point, then we'll talk about fishing or something else. But we're not going to talk about the Bible until you come and confess to me that you believe that man cannot get himself out of that pit that he's in. It's impossible. And see, this is fundamental principles of what we as the Primitive Baptist and the Church of God believes. We must believe that point. And this young man that came to me, seeking brother, Devin England. He found us on the internet. And he said, I came from a church in Kentucky that taught, predestination, and I'm trying to find one that teaches that. And he says, I have two questions for you. The first one, I want to know, how do you believe that men are saved? The number two question is, I want to know what Bible you use. Now, I have our articles of faith right here. And I copied down article number four. This is in just about different articles. Think about this article and tell me if it says we believe this. We believe this. No, this is what we believe, Helen. We believe that the entire human family are dead in trespasses and sin by reason of the first transgression and are utterly unable to recover themselves from that fallen condition. Believe that? They ordain you. They're going to ask you to confirm that. And I believe you will. And you, Brother Tim. You see, when we come to the truth, the knowledge of the truth, there's principles that we cannot bypass. If you believe, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. No period. To everyone that is believing. The word believeth there, Brother Keith, it's a present tense participle. It means that it is something that is going on right now and it will continue to go on. It said, so the preaching of the cross, and I'm going to go back to Corinthians and read a little bit more. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, I didn't finish my story about Brother Devin. He almost come with me. And if he did, I wouldn't have told this. But he says, and you know what I did? I had these on my internet and my computer. I'll go there and I just copy and paste article number four into my statement. I said, this is what we believe about the human family prior to Jesus Christ coming into their heart. And if you have copies of this, there's scriptures here. Psalms 10, Psalms 14. When the Apostle Paul is quoting the scriptures in Romans chapter 3, he is quoting from Psalms chapter 10, Psalms chapter 14, and Psalms chapter 15. And it says in Psalms 14 and 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I ask you, Brother John, how are you going to teach somebody about God if you don't believe in God? Now, how shall you call upon somebody whom you don't believe? How would you make a prayer to God if you didn't believe in the God you was praying to? It's ridiculous to think about that. And the part of this little pamphlet is, one of the things that you must do in order to become a child of God is to pray the sinner's prayer and ask God to come into your heart and say that I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and all of these different things. And my question is this, at what point in this process? And by the way, eternal life and salvation, Brother Keith, is not a process. It is an instantaneous, automatic, right now, instantaneous. It's not something that happens slowly over time. Regeneration is an instantaneous birth. I mean, think about that thief on the cross. At one time he was railing on the Lord, just like the other one. And then suddenly something happened to him. And he turned to the other one. He said, "Do you not fear God?" Well, one of the things about these people is there's no fear of God before their eyes. You cannot teach somebody to fear God. Only God can teach you to fear him. I can teach you about God. And if you have been born of the Spirit of God, I can teach you the principles of the gospel. But if you have not, then this is going to be, you know what it's going to be to you? Foolishness. Foolishness. And that's why these people were railing on Drew Brees, because they didn't believe what he was saying. All you need to do is just have faith and trust in God and things will work out. We walk by faith, and that's what the scripture said. We walk by faith and not sight. And so let us walk by faith, praying and for each other and so forth. I don't remember exact words he said, but man, did he ever get lambasted. You thought he had blasphemed. But the point is this. There's no fear of God before their eyes. You see, in Proverbs, brothers and sisters, it teaches us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I'm telling you that there's two kinds of fears. The fear that I'm talking about is the fear of reverence to God. Having a reverential knowledge and a reverential respect for God. So the question is asked in Romans 10, how shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? Well, brethren, these principles are throughout the scriptures. I mean, you could go to the, and this is where the Apostle Paul, he's quoting the Old Testament. Jesus said unto these people, he says, "Search the scriptures." Search the scriptures. What scriptures? There was no scripture except the Old Testament. He says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life in the scriptures." You think if you do, and this is exactly what those Jews thought. They thought if we do this and we do this and we do all these things, and they made up so many rules and so many laws, they made up laws against laws. And he said, "As it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." The world by wisdom knew not God. I mean, we have these, and I want you to understand, I love all of God's people. I'm not throwing, these people out here, we need to be evangelizing them. That's part of my message this morning about being ashamed. Do you ever think about being ashamed? Have you ever done anything that you're ashamed of? What caused you to be ashamed? The Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, I was in the wee hours of the morning. I had my alarm set for 7, and I woke up at 6:30. The apostle said, "Ashamed." Why did he say that? You know, ashamed. Most of the time, when you feel ashamed, you've done something that's convicting you. I may have said something that. Somebody comes back to me and they say something to me, and I come back with a smart aleck remark. You know, we're not to answer people the way they answer us. But when we say words, Brother Bill MacArthur used the expression a lot. He said, "When you say something out there, you can't get it back." It's like, he said, it's like trying to put toothpaste back in a tube. Once it's been squeezed out, it's a very messy job. So when you think about being ashamed, when we say things, you know, say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt." That is a lie of the devil. Because words do hurt. And we need to be careful how we speak to our brothers and sisters. We need to be careful how we talk about these people out here. I've said a lot of things this morning. I'm not attacking them. I'm attacking their doctrine, their teaching. God, I have the authority to do that, Brother John. The Apostle Paul said, if any man come and preach unto you any other gospel than that which I have been taught, I let him be accursed. And that doctrine is a cursed doctrine. It's like, Brother, I'll give you the idea that Brother Larry Smith said. He said the word curse means damn, doesn't it? Isn't that what it means? Condemned? He said, well, let them take that damned doctrine back. He didn't cuss. The word cursed means damned. And so he said, if any man name not the name of Jesus Christ, let him be what? Anathema. That means accursed. So, Brother Larry, he said that, and I said, I can't argue with that. It's like what the word means. Anyway, take that condemned or that cursed doctrine back to where you got it. Okay. I'm going to go back to Romans 1. I've got 15 minutes. Wow, how? But anyway, Romans chapter 1, the thing came to me this morning, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I can't figure out why he would say that. But unless there was people that he was preaching to that was ashamed. I want to go real quickly with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And here is a young man named Timothy that was ashamed. I want to begin reading in let's begin reading in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that's in thee also. The apostle, this is an encouragement to a discouraged young preacher. This is an encouragement to Timothy. Timothy, the troubles out here are all around us. And now notice it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God in which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us, I want you to think about this, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, well, if you're, now there's fear. There's a fear of reverential fear. This is a fear that's called phobia. It's a fear called fear of the unknown, fear of trouble, fear of things that might happen. You know, sometimes we're afraid of things that never will happen. We worry about stuff that will never happen. Worry is sin. Whoops. It's unbelief. Because, I know we're all worriers. My wife worries because she's not worried. and she'd get on to me for saying that, but it's the truth. Now notice verse 8. I'm going to get a little bit more about verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, he didn't give us, what did he give us? He didn't give us fear, but he gave us power. And that word power right there is the same as the word in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. It says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The word, there's two words for dunamis, for power, and one's dunamis and one is exousia. One is authority and one is power or might, strength, ability. And this is what this word means. I may have told you this before, and y'all forgive me for a repeat, but the word dunamis, it comes from we have an English word called dynamite. It comes from that Greek word dunamis, and it is a, and if you have a stick of dynamite, you can hold it in your hand. It is potential energy. There is potential in that dynamite that can do, it can destroy a lot of things, but it's, until it's ignited, it's just there. Now, we have been given faith. We have been given the power of God, but until we light the fuse, it's just there. Not doing you one bit of good. Now, we're not only to believe and rejoice in this doctrine, but we're to put it in practice in our life. But dynamite, it's potential in the stick, but when you light that fuse, it becomes kinetic. It becomes energy that is explosive. And every one of us are potential. You've heard the expression, you are a bundle of potentiality. You have potential that you would never, you would not believe what God can, maybe you will, what God can do if you just trust Him to do His word. And this is why Timothy, now I want you to think about Timothy. Paul was his father in the ministry. Okay? What would it have been like if my father, or maybe even Brother Hewlin here, was over there in jail? You're over there in prison. Not for anything that you did bad, but because you violated the laws of society. You were not politically correct. And you don't believe that's going to happen? There's going to be laws, and there's already laws that you cannot pray in public. I'm telling you, I told my children this way back there when prayer become a sin in school. They cannot legislate prayer. They cannot keep you from prayer. Prayer's not just words. Prayer is a sincere desire of your heart. And I prayed a lot and I know you did too. In school. But the point here is this. Until we plug in to the power, it's potential. It's there. But until, and that's why the Apostle Paul is here encouraging this young man. Wherefore I put you in remembrance. Remember this, Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Remember when you was ordained. Remember when we put our hands on you and God called you to preach the gospel and we put our hands on you and we sent you forth to preach the word of God. Remember that. Amen. Remember that. You know, one of the churches over in Asia is that they had forgotten their first love. They had forgotten that infatuation that you had. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, I feel like that our faith grows cold. Now, I'm speaking personally. Now, be not ashamed. Therefore, now notice this. Why would he write this verse 8? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And what way can you think that maybe Timothy was ashamed of the word testimony means the witness or we could even say the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, Timothy has somehow become discouraged. He has perhaps by being ruled by fear and not being able to freely go out here and preach the gospel without being afraid of being thrown in prison with Paul. Or maybe having your head taken off. Brothers and sisters, there's some, back in those days, it meant something to be a Christian. You confess yourself to be a Christian, you're subject to death. You say, well, that brother, that's back then. I'm telling you, it may come to that today, and it's getting closer to it all the time. Where you may be called upon to profess and confess what you believe before a court. Before a court. I remember the shooting at Columbine. All the little girl had to do was just recant and say, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. And he said, I won't kill you. She wouldn't do it. You know what? You know what? When you talk about a Christian or the word martus is a disciple who will die for his faith. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands, just rivers and rivers of blood of Christians that have died rather than recant the gospel. I pray to God, if it ever came down to this, that they say, I'm going to kill you if you don't preach that anymore. The apostle, they did that to Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and they said, give them a whipping and tell them, and let them go, but tell them they do not preach that anymore. You know what they did the next day? They're right back there preaching the same gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy here. Don't be ashamed, Timothy, to profess what you've been ordained to. He said, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of Maria his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What power does he have? He has Jesus in his soul. He has the word of God. He has the word power there. I believe be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the strength that God gives you. The power that you have over sin. You know, it says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have power over all of these isms in the world? We have the greatest, we have God in us. Did you understand that we have the same power inside of us, and the same power that gave you the ability to believe is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? That's wonderful. But you see, we've got to plug into that. Now notice he says, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be the picker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Who saved us? Now this is the point that will really get you over the hump. Believe this. And this is what the gospel is all about. God who saved us and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now I want to ask you a question, and this kind of question came up at our meeting over here. Did you know, and do you believe that your name is written in the book of life? Do you believe that God wrote your name in his book before the foundation of the world? If you believe that, then what in the world can you be afraid of out there? And this is what he's trying to tell Timothy, we have the power of God who saved us and called us. We have been called from darkness to light. We've been given the Spirit of God in our hearts. And he says, according to the workings of according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, what name did he write? You know, my mother named me William Allen Daniels. Did before the world began, did God write William Allen Daniels? Did he write that? He said, well, brother, I don't know. Well, did you ever think about that? When you get to heaven, is your name going to be David Bass or Hewlin or whatever? This is the point. You say that may be silly, but see, the point is God wrote something in the book and he knows who you are. He knows, it said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Therefore, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, because that is a fact. Facts are strange things. Now, if God wrote your name in the book of life before the foundation of the world, can any thing you do or don't do cause him to erase your name? You see, your names, You know, I said this over there at St. Matthew's. I said, I can tell you exactly how many people is going to be in heaven. You said, Brother Allen, how can you say that? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's only going to be a handful. There's only going to be a handful. People say, oh, I knew that all the time. There's just going to be a handful in heaven. Well, whose hand is it in? It's in God's hand, brother. And our names are written and engraved. They're written and engraved in the palms of his hands. When he hung on that cross and they put the nails through his hands. Everyone that was given to him by the Father was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you are sanctified. You are preserved in Jesus Christ. And there is nobody that can separate you from the love of God. And if we really believe that, then how in the world can somebody make you scared? So I'm going to kill you if you do that again. Good. Send me on to heaven. That's all they can do. Don't fear anybody that's able to kill your body, but fear the one that's able to cast both body and soul into hell. That's the one we need to fear. Now, this is just principles, brethren, that we've been taught all our lives. But, but this is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Wow. And he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's why the gospel, if you really believe this message, then you've got a power in you that is greater than any. I tell you one thing: it's greater than all the power in Washington D.C. You believe that? See, that's all they care about is the power. But brethren, can I have 5 more minutes? Y'all won't tell on me, will you? I'm having a good time up here. Let's turn over to Philippians for a minute. And I want to read just a little bit out of Philippians chapter, I think it's chapter 1, maybe. The Apostle Paul, I think it's right here, if y'all help me find it. But the Apostle Paul says, the things that has happened to me has fallen out to the glory of God. And Timothy is over here, and he's we'll excuse you, Sister Angie D, and I'm sorry. I should have already quit. But the Apostle Paul is over here in prison. He's in prison. Did you find it yet for me? Yes. Okay. I don't may not comment much on this, but I'll just read it for you. Many of the brethren in the Lord are waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. They see me and they see they see me in prison here. And he says, the things that have happened to me have fallen out to the glory of God. We'll get it. I should have already had this. But he said, now this is at verse 16, Brother David. He said, one preacheth Christ of contention. Contention. Not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. But the other preaches the gospel in love, knowing that I am set in the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being preached. I therefore do rejoice that Christ is being preached. Some preach Christ just mockingly. But you know, if they're mocking you for preaching Christ, then they're talking about Jesus, right? Now, he says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing, listen to this verse. This is, I read all that to get to this. According to my expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What if we just grabbed onto that one point? If I'm going to live in this world, I'm going to be. Our whole purpose, the whole purpose of the gospel is to give glory unto Jesus Christ. It's not about you, it's about Him. And that's why it says, for if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I should choose, I do not know. For I am in a strait. Have you ever felt like this, Brother Hewlin? I'm in a strait betwixt two. I'm in between two opinions here. I'm in a strait, you know, my mother used to say, you're between a rock and a hard spot. I just don't know whether, you know, a rock's pretty hard spot, but he said, when you get between a rock and a hard spot. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's what I told Sister Harriet. I said, Sister Harriet, don't worry about it. I said, if you don't make it here. And her daughter called her, by the way, and was just scared to death. She said, Mother, don't you know that 1 out of 11 of those people that get that disease you have, it dies? She said, Sweetheart, it's okay. It's okay. To live is Christ and to die is gain. And it's far better. You say, we don't believe that for a second. I'm telling you, if we get sick, we're going to do the very best we can to get well. We're going to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on getting well. But the Apostle Paul, here he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain, and it's far better. It's far better over there. And I'm not advocating we go out here and jump off of a bridge or something. But what I am talking about is living with these thoughts and principles in our mind day in and day out. Amen. Believing that no matter what happens, and believe this promise. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Do you believe that? Well, do you believe He's going to forsake you if you get cancer? You believe He's going to forsake you if you're in the hospital somewhere? And I believe His word. And in order for us to plug in to this dynamite, Brother Hewlett, you've got to believe His promises. You've got to believe what He says and quit doubting about whether or not He's going to do what He said He's going to do. You know, there's a lot of people that believe in God, but how many people believe God? Do you believe God? Or are you ashamed of? I've done lots of things, brothers and sisters, in my youth, I wouldn't want you to ever know about. But you know what? God knows everything I ever did, every place I ever went, and everything I ever said. And it's all covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't go back and worry about things that we've done in the past. They're under the blood. Once we confess them, forget them. To say, take your burdens to the Lord and what? Pick them up and take them back with you. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.